and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Now, this is an episode that we're recording a bit in advance of when it's actually going out because I'm going on holiday.
So, do you want to tell everyone where you're going, what you're doing?
I don't want to say too much, Ben, because, you know, it's like the paparazzi get a hold of it. You know, so I'll be all over social media. There'll be people following me. I'm not going too far, though. I'm not going out of the UK.
You're really going to be cryptic about this?
All right, I'm going to the Isle of Wight. It's one of my favourite destinations. It's a lovely place. You do feel like you're going away, because you have to get on a boat to get there.
Yes, you do. That's about the only sort of overseas feel of the entire trip.
The main thing for me is I'm by the sea. I'm not, you know, in my normal place with noise and arguments and aggression all around me. I'm somewhere where it's quiet, calm.
Parkhurst.
Just the gentle lapping of the waves against the shore. It's all I want, Ben. It's all I need. It's all I want.
Okay, I didn't think there was much to do at the Isle of Wight. No offence to anyone from the Isle of Wight. I just thought it was, I don't want to say boring, but just not much on. But I'm assuming that's the appeal for you.
Well, exactly. I mean, what do you need on? What do I need on when I'm on holiday?
Well, some people like to go and, you know, I don't know, see some local events or go to a nice, some sort of show maybe, but you just want the solitude.
Yes, I mean, there's plenty to see. There's beautiful sights and views to take in. There's lots of just lovely features to look at. I can't stand people, you see, so I don't want to go anywhere where there's a lot of people. You know, I've never seen the appeal of going on holiday to just sit on a beach. As much as I like the quietness of a beach, I'm not a sun seeker, so that sort of holiday's never appealed to me. I find sitting on a beach lovely for about half an hour. You can listen to the sea, you can watch what's going on, if there's any wildlife, but just sitting there in the sun all day strikes me as the dullest holiday that you could possibly have.
Oh, well, I'm a fidget. As you know, I'm a fidget. Yeah. I can't sit still, let alone just lie in the sun for hours. It does my head in. I can lie down for 20 minutes if I'm listening to something, but after that, I get very bored very quickly.
I've also never been struck by the idea of a holiday where you go, you know, like a resort or basically somewhere where there's a pool and people sit around a pool all day. That doesn't appeal to me either. Too many people, too much, just boring. So I like the idea of just going somewhere fairly quiet, just chilled out, do what you want to do in your own time.
I think you'd be quite happy living the life of a monk.
I really think I would. There's not many holidays these days. A friend of mine, he's got a holiday home in Sardinia, right? And he says to me, oh, you'd love it. You must come over. We'll go out. The people are lovely. They have all these people invite you for dinner. No, that sounds to me. One, it's too hot. I can't stand the heat. I said to him, when's a good time to come? He said, well, if you come about April, it's only sort of 30 odd. No, that's way too hot.
That's ridiculous. Not 30 doing degrees.
That. Yeah. He said, oh, well, you know, maybe come later in the year. But it's still always around sort of 28 degrees. It's too hot. I don't do anything above 25 these days. I can't stand being in the heat. I don't want to go somewhere where I'm being, you know, taken round to meet people, get involved in local things. I'm not, you know, it's nice to go and see local things if there's something happening, but I don't want to become part of it. It just doesn't appeal to me. I know that I'm turning into quite a grumpy man, but I like the idea of a little cottage in the middle of nowhere, really. That's what I want.
Well, that sounds quite nice, although you might be a bit lonely.
Yeah, I think I will overcome that.
Do you think so?
Yeah. So when you go on holiday, Ben, do you pack anything special to take? Are there home comforts that you take with you?
Yeah, one of my favourite places to go is sort of self-catering. So I have I've even brought an air fryer with me before.
Wow, that's quite a thing to take on holiday with you, an air fryer.
Yeah, I wanted to bring my portable barbecue, but they said sorry, no barbecues on site, which I thought was a shame. So I didn't even bother asking about the pizza oven because I thought that would be a similar answer. But I did smuggle in an air fryer once, And on my last trip there, I brought my PlayStation with me.
Well, that's all right. I mean, taking those things, all right. I mean, an air fryer, I think that's... I think PlayStation, that's probably all right. Air fryer, that seems a bit extreme. But I suppose if there's not one there and you want to air fry something, take it.
Yeah. Now, I did also, on my last trip to this place, I did something a bit daft, which was I only had one job, which was to bring the sort of entertainment gear, such as the PlayStation, the DVDs, anything like that, just so we've got, because the Wi-Fi is a bit shit there as well. That was down to me. Ben, you're in charge of the games and the entertainment. Now, when we got there, we quickly realised I had forgotten all of the DVDs, had to drive all the way back home to get them and then drive all the way back again.
Now, well, hang on. You drove all the way home to pick up the DVDs?
And a few other bits, it turned out, I'd also forgotten as well.
How much had you forgotten?
I'd forgotten quite a few bits. But I didn't mind. It's not the longest of journeys. It was a bit annoying because I'd actually paid about £25 to get in a couple of hours early to make the most of our time. Mrs. Ben loved it. She had a lovely time without me, just feeding the ducks.
Yeah, best bit of her honour, that was.
Yeah. Well,
I reckon she unpacked the stuff. You put it in, she took it out again. So when you got there, you go, oh, Ben, you forgot. You're going to have to fuck off for a couple of hours. Oh, thank God for that. He's gone.
So I was a little bit cross about it, but I couldn't be too cross with anyone other than myself because it was entirely my fault.
When you go abroad, do you take anything? Like, there are things you can't get abroad, like Marmite, for example. A lot of people pack they take a jar of Marmite. I mean, the Isle of Wight's fine. I think you can get Marmite on the Isle of Wight. But there are places in the world you can't get Marmite, and people will take a jar of Marmite with them when they go on holiday.
I don't know. We tend to try and make the food in advance if we can. I don't know about taking things like... I mean, some Brits will even take things like tea bags and butter with them when they go abroad.
Yes.
Because they're worried they won't have it in France or something.
Biscuits. People take biscuits. They're frightened they're not going to get the same biscuits. I've even read people pack lots of pot noodles when they go away. I'm sure you can get pot noodles anywhere.
Now, I don't mean to sound like a bit of a snob or anything, and I'm partial to the... I don't like pot noodles, but I have ramen pots and things like that. I love a bit of that. But I would have thought, when you're on holiday, maybe that's the time to push the boat out a little bit culinarily wise. I wouldn't feel very happy thinking, oh, what a special, I've waited for this all year.
Yeah,
finally got here, where's my pot noodle?
I would try more things these days. When I was younger, I probably wasn't as adventurous. When I was in Thailand, I didn't really try much of the local food. I wasn't adventurous enough. I wish I'd tried some of the street food, because right outside of our hotel at night, there was just all these stalls, and the smell was quite amazing. But I just was... What was I, 21, I think, when I was there? And you know what it's like, people tell you, oh, you know, always don't eat anything off the street, you know, you might get ill. And I didn't even try it. But I think now, I think, fuck it, let's go for it. You know, I think you've got to be careful with things like water in some places, haven't you? But
yes,
just street food, you know that these people have been cooking this food for years on the street. You know, it's probably absolutely fine. They were selling things, I think I've told you this before, they were selling things like fried locusts. I'm not sure I'd have gone that far, but maybe I would now. Maybe I'd think, let's get try one.
If you are going, and this is a really great tip, by the way, if you are going to a country, and I'm not sure the Isle of Wight quite counts for this bit of advice, but if you are going somewhere where they do warn you, watch the water, it'll give you a really dodgy tummy, fine, don't drink the water, but also remember the ice in your drink.
Yes. Yeah, salads.
Exactly, you've got it. They will wash the salad in that same water as well. So dodge the ice, the water, and the salads.
There you go. That big tip there. Just basically, I mean, it's a good tip, isn't it? You know, when I was in Thailand again, I didn't touch any water. They were really good in the hotel because they left bottled water for you, so that was good. But in the bars, you had to keep saying, no ice. No ice.
Yep.
Not in the art of Jack Daniels and Coke in those days. And they wanted to put ice in. It's like, no, no ice. You don't want to come across as rude, but when you're shouting, I said no ice! I said no ice! I don't want to be having the shits for 3 days. Thank you very much.
Well, the alternative is, I heard someone on a podcast once talking about how he would fairly regularly visit India. And whenever he would, the first day, he said he would go and basically drink puddle water because he said, I know I'm going to get sick at some point.
Right.
So I'm going to get it out of the way immediately. I mean, terrible advice, yes. I think. I wouldn't advise anyone does that.
It sounds like a fucking moron, to be honest, mate. I mean, if you want to get yourself, why drink from a puddle? I mean, just drink from the tap.
Yeah, if we're going to get ill, we might as well get properly ill and get it out of the way.
But that's half your holiday then wasted from being ill. Just avoid being ill. Sounds like an idiot to me. Unbelievable.
Oh, dear.
And these days, you've got the annoying thing. You've got to go through all the rigmarole of all the chargers you have to pack these days. Or the plugs you have to take on holiday. It's getting ridiculous, isn't it? You take a charger for your phone, charger for the toothbrush, charger for your iPod or iPad. You've got a bag for just plugs and leads and cables. But you've got to take them.
That was one of the other things I forgot to pack, was the extension cord. So we had electronics, but they were to get them where we wanted, we couldn't, because I'd forgotten the extension cord as well as the DVDs.
On the list, the other thing I have to remember now is now that I have to take, you know, I'm of that age, taking a lot of tablets, I've got to make sure I've got enough tablets. I've got to sort all that out before I go away. I've even bought myself, this is a proper old man purchase, Ben, I've bought myself one of those little containers. You know, with little days on, you put all your tablets for the day in the container, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, each with its own little compartment.
Now, believe me, I would love nothing more than to take the piss out of you completely for that, except for the fact Mrs. Ben gave me one of those for my last birthday.
There you go.
And by the way, in pink.
Oh, nice.
So I look like I've got this sort of little old lady octogenarian pill counter thing, so I don't forget to take my epilepsy tablets, or in case I think, how many have I had today, because I'm supposed to take two, and if I lose track, this little old lady pink box will remind me. It's so humiliating, but
please tell me you got like a little pink shower cap as well. That's your next birthday present sorted.
Trev, one thing we've done in the past, which I think is always a good bit of fun, is trying to solve moral dilemmas.
Oh, okay. Yes, I like these.
So here's your first dilemma. And it's actually kind of appropriate, this one, because there is a boat theme, and you'll be using a boat to get you to Parkhurst, won't you?
Yes, well, I'm looking forward to that, yes.
Good, right. You've been on a cruise for 2 days when there's an
accident.
Well,
already I'm hating it. I'm just, to me, that doesn't appeal, a cruise. But anyway, sorry.
Well, I've been on a few cruises. They're all right, you know.
Are they?
Yeah.
Too many people, and you can't get away from them, can you? Unless you just bolt yourself away in your cabin.
Well, good news, because there's been an accident that forces everyone on board the ship to abandon ship. So there you go, problem solved.
Okay. What sort of accident do we know? Is it a Titanic-type affair?
I mean, it doesn't specify. Imagine whatever catastrophe you wish.
Okay, all right.
What would you like it to be?
I've imagined an accidental torpedoing.
An accidental torpedoing?
Yeah, the Russians, they accidentally pushed fire.
That's unfortunate. So, during the evacuation, one of the boats is damaged, leaving it with a hole that will fill with water.
Right.
You figure that with 10 people in the boat... Now, this gets a bit complicated, but pay attention.
So, hang on, we're on a lifeboat that's also got a hole in it.
Yeah, that torpedo must have caused some fucking damage. You figure that with 10 people in the lifeboat, you can keep the boat afloat by having 9 people scoop the filling water out by hand for 10 minutes, with the 10th person... as a rest.
Right.
After that person's 10-minute rest, he or she will get back to work while another person rests, and so on.
Yeah.
This should keep the boat from sinking long enough for a rescue team to find you, as long as it happens within 5 hours.
Right.
You're taking your first break when you noticed your best friend, I'm assuming me in this situation.
Yeah,
From a different lifeboat approaching with only 9 people in it. So I'm assuming, ahoy, Trev.
Oh, it's very, very chirpy considering the disaster that's just unfolded. But hi. Lovely day, Ben, isn't it? Lovely day for it.
So I beckon you over to swim over and join my lifeboat. So therefore, you won't have to keep bailing the water out of your damaged boat. However, you leaving your original boat means that the people now have a person less and will now only have 2 hours of time to bail out the boat before it sinks, before the rescue team get to them instead of the 5 hours, decreasing their chances of being rescued, but securing yours for sure. What do you do?
The truth is that probably in a life or death situation, you're probably going to go, right, I'm going to the boat that's safe. You know, in a ideal world, you'd want to say, I'm sorry, Ben, I've got to look after these people. I see myself as a leader. I've taken up the sort of captain mantle on the lifeboat. It's probably me that's arranged the bailing system. I've probably drawn up a rotor, and you know, that would probably be the ideal thing. But would I? Am I condemning them to death if I jump ship?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Because they're awaiting the rescue boat, which could take 5 hours, it could be there in two. But you know that you are effectively over halving their time if you leave.
Right.
So you're not, it's not necessarily a death sentence, but you are severely hindering their chances.
What I'd suggest, Ben, and considering you were in such a jaunty mood when you arrived alongside.
Ahoy!
Wouldn't it be good if you just stayed alongside us until the rescue boat came?
I've got places to be, son.
Where
have you, I'll sit around with you.
Where are you going? You're in the middle of the ocean. We've just been torpedoed. Where are you off to?
Well, I've been torpedoed. My original cruise line was torpedoed.
I bet you're going home because you've forgotten the fucking DVDs or something.
I'm not going to stick around with a sinking ship.
I don't know where you're going. Are you heading for shore? If you know a rescue ship's coming, why are you heading to shore? Because that's often a question that I'd have to ask, wouldn't it? I mean, if you were in a lifeboat, presumably you can row. Or is there a motor on these lifeboats?
Well, my lifeboat has 9 other people on board, so we could really ease the burden. We could probably treble your survival time if we stayed with you.
Well, there you go. So that would seem to be the better option, that actually, rather than putting the onus of survival on me and I'm in the stricken vessel, let you help.
I've just remembered why this annoyed me the last time we did this, and it was because you start inventing ways to make it my fault when it's you who has the onus on deciding what to do. The question was, do you abandon them and condemn them to a much worse fate? Not necessarily death, or do you come and join my boat? And now you've made it my fault. You know what? You can fuck off. You can stick in your little dinghy. I'm going to throw an outboard motor on this thing and you won't see me for dust.
Well, oh, you've packed an outboard motor, have you?
You've got a, no, it's at home with the DVDs.
Right. Well, I think what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to have to stay in the lifeboat. I can't abandon these people. We've probably become friends on the cruise. You know what it's like? I've ever been on a cruise, but I guess you make friends for life on a cruise. You're stuck on a ship with them for fucking weeks on end. The sort of people that phone you up months later. Oh, you know, it's John. Do you remember me from the cruise? Oh, fuck. I couldn't get away from you on a fucking boat. Now you're phoning me.
Hang on a minute. So you would rather stick with a bunch of strangers you've known for, you know, I don't know how soon your cruise liner was accidentally torpedoed by the Russians. But you'd rather stick with these bunch of people you've known for maybe a week tops than join your best friend offering you guaranteed survival on his adjoining boat.
Well, obviously I'd love to hop on board your vessel, but I can't abandon these people, can I?
Why?
Well, because I can't.
They're strangers to you.
But then imagine if I then read in the paper a few days later, 9 people drowned. And I'd have survivor's guilt.
The alternative is you wouldn't get to read that paper because you'd be dead too.
Yeah. All right, I'll hop on board. Fuck them.
Thank you. Really had to make me work for that one.
Yeah, but what I don't like, Ben, is the person you made me there. I'd made the decision to stay and then you pushed me and pushed me. And then look what I became. Look at the influence you have on me. I think that's what we've learned today, is the influence that you have is not a good one.
Okay, well, I've got another one from you from the same website. This one, I must warn you, is a little bit darker.
Darker than drowning at sea.
Well, there's a drowning theme again. But it's introducing children into the matter now. So again, if you wanted a moral dilemma, I found you one. Your family is vacationing alone on a private stretch of beach. I like to think the dilemmas I've picked are appropriate for what you're doing.
Yes.
You're holidaying on a little private stretch of beach in the Isle of Wight somewhere, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know how private it is, but yeah, that's where I am at.
However, there is no lifeguard.
Oh.
See, there's this trouble in paradise here. Now, here's a problem. You've got to imagine you've got some fictional relatives here, Trevor.
Okay, well, I'm going to be on holiday with actual relatives. Can I just imagine them rather than fictional relatives?
Yeah, I mean, you can swap in whichever person you want for your... Okay, so it's your daughter and your niece in this scenario.
Okay, well, so, I don't have either of those. They will be fictional. Yeah, okay, so
okay.
My fictional daughter, whose name is... Jonelle.
Jonelle. Where did you pull Jonelle from?
I don't know, it's just a lovely name, isn't it? Was it my niece?
Yes, your daughter and your niece.
Yeah, okay, my niece, whose name is Bianca.
Okay, so I'll try and remember those names. Both 7 years old, are best friends and eager to get into the water. You caution them to wait until the water calms some. But they defy you and sneak in anyway. You soon hear screams of distress. I told you this was dark.
Yeah.
And find them both caught in a strong current.
Right.
You are the only swimmer strong enough to save them, but you can only save one at a time. Your niece is a very poor swimmer, young Bianca, and likely won't make it much longer.
Oh, God.
Your daughter, on the other hand, Jonelle, is a stronger swimmer, but only has a 50% chance of holding on long enough for you to come back for her. Who do you save first?
Oh, this is... What a horrible fucking question. I mean, honestly, what a question. I thought, when we had a little chat beforehand, I said, oh, wouldn't it be fun? We'll do some, you know, sort of holiday edition. We'll have a bit of fun. We'll do some dilemmas. Now I've got to choose between the death of my daughter or niece.
You thought I'd come up with something, you know, light and pithy. I've basically ended up with Sophie's Choice for you.
Yes. Unbelievable. Happy holidays, everyone. Well, what a question to ask.
I mean, the obvious answer is you called me back in my boat.
Well, you've probably fucked off. We've learned about you. You're not there anymore. You've gone. Well, I don't know how to answer this. I mean, I guess you're going to have to save the one who's in the most trouble, aren't you, to start with? That's got to be your starting point. If you know that someone's a stronger swimmer, I mean, what kind of current... I mean, you know, you've got to be a good swimmer if it's a strong current. I mean, I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to fight this current.
Well, I mean, I think the reason they've used the characters of daughter and niece is because there is an uncomfortable detachment there where you have to sort of realise that one of them is your child and the other one isn't.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of the deliberate choice of those relatives. And I think it's... I don't have kids. But I think I've got a funny feeling most people would reflexively save their own child first. I'm not even sure they'd think about, oh, what do I do here? I think they would just save their own child first.
Yeah, I suppose instinct would just kick in, wouldn't it? That sort of paternal instinct would just take over, I suppose. But the practical thing to do would be to go to the one who's in the most trouble first. It's like a weird thing, isn't it? If you come across a car crash, don't go to the one that's crying and screaming first. Go to the quiet one first. They're probably in the most danger.
I've never thought of that. Yeah, that's a good point. The problem is, though, by rescuing your niece first, you've just halved your own daughter's chances of being able to hold on.
Well, I've taught her well. She's a great swimmer. She's probably got... the inner strength of a bear. By now, I've called the lifeboat, surely. Where am I?
Where you are now is, again, desperately trying to clamour out of having to answer the dilemma.
No, I've told you what
inventing,
I'd do.
Inventing, calling the lifeguards and the lifeboats and stuff, and she's got the internal strength of a bear. What are you talking about?
Well, I've told you what I'd do. I'd have to go and help the one who's in the most trouble to start with. I think that's what I'd have to do.
Well, that's very noble, and I appreciate it was a difficult dilemma to solve, and on reflection, probably not very good for a light-hearted podcast.
Yeah, well done, Ben.
Thank you.
Well,
I did find one more.
Oh, yeah, what's this one about? The Nazis or something?
There were quite a few about Nazis, but even
of course there were. Yeah.
Even I thought.
Fuck knows what website you've gone to. Somewhere on the dark web, probably. Jesus Christ.
So,
keep it light. Come on.
All right, this one's lighter, I promise. And it's not from the same website, so you don't need to worry. You are starving hungry. You've had a really busy day. You've maybe even run a marathon. And you're starving. You haven't had a bite to eat all day long. I've invited you round for a dinner party. You come through the door and immediately you think, oh, that food, it smells absolutely I'm going to use a word here, Trev. Divine.
Divine, is it?
Divine.
Divine.
That's how good my cooking is.
Is it? Are you?
Smells fantastic. Right. All the other guests are there. And yeah.
Who else is there? Who else have you invited?
Other friends and family members. It's a big do. I've thrown a do in your honour to celebrate you completing a marathon that day, which is why you're so hungry.
Okay? Is your puddle sipping dickhead there? Is he?
No, he's not invited.
Okay.
He's in intensive care, I think, at this point. So then you come to greet me and you find me in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And you tell me how hungry you are.
Are you wearing an apron and a chef's hat?
I could be. Although you might find that the apron strap on one side keeps slipping down.
Okay.
Because we're having my right arm for dinner.
Right, okay.
And you have admitted yourself how delicious this dinner smells, how starving hungry you are. The food smells, I'm going to use that word again, divine.
Yeah.
And you're a bit shocked at first. You say, what do you mean we're eating your arm?
Yeah.
And I say, Trev, it's been my lifelong goal to share my body with other people, and I've decided I want to cook and share my arm. It's not going to be like a roast arm. I'm not going to put it on, and carve it up.
It's like a casserole, is it?
It's going to be in like a hot pot or something.
A hot pot.
It's a slow cooker meal.
Can I just? I mean, I don't know, because it's such an odd ingredient. You know, I think if you're having a dinner party and you're going to be serving yourself, I think that's something you tell people about on the invite. I don't think that's something you throw in at last minute. Oh, come round for a dinner party. We're going to have a great time. And then everyone turns up and then you go, you're going to be eating a part of me tonight. I don't think that's how a dinner party where you're serving your arm's going to work. But anyway, on this occasion it is.
I don't think you should be quite this quick to turn down. I mean, I'm a delicacy. I'm quite a rare, you know, protein. There's only so much of me to go around.
All right. Well, why have you taken your arm off for the purpose of this, or have you lost your arm and decided to cook it? What circumstances?
I have had it deliberately and professionally surgically removed. I am in no...
What surgeons agreed to this, by the way?
I am in no pain. I've been looked after. It's all been medically sound. Apparently, you know, aside from the very unscrupulous surgeon who should be struck off.
Yeah.
But... And it's all cooked lovely. All the other guests have sat down at the table and they've all agreed they're happy to take part. Trev, will you eat my meat?
I don't know if I'm going to. No, I don't think I'm going to.
You said how hungry you were. Your stomach's been rumbling all the way from Thornton Heath to East Grinstead.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not as though I can't get sustenance around or anywhere between here and East Grinstead. Do you know what I mean? It's not like I've got to your house and you've gone, well, it's my arm or starve to death. That's not the option.
But you've come to my dinner party. I've told you what a special occasion is. I've told you how much it means to me to have you eat my arm. Why won't you eat my arm, Trev?
I don't want it. I don't want your arm.
So you're going to be very un-British. You're going to be very rude. Refuse my food that you, by the way, thought smelled delicious when you walked in.
Well, no, it did say it smelled lovely, but that's got nothing to do with your arm meat. That's all the whatever the spices you've been marinating your arm in, isn't it? That's all the extraneous stuff that's got into this extra special hot pot. You know, that it's not your arm that is smelling nice.
Okay, so what if while you're mulling over this decision, you hear the guests in the master dining room.
In the master dining room, yeah.
Yeah, of course. They're tucking away and they go, oh my, this is the finest meat I think I've ever tried in my life. It's been braised to slow cooked to perfection. I don't think anyone could find greater meat than this. I could die now. I'm that happy with this, the greatest meal anyone will ever taste.
Wow.
Trev, will you eat some of my arm?
I don't know if I want to, Ben. I don't know if I want to. I mean, I suppose maybe curiosity is going to be... It's a bit like that fried locust in Thailand, isn't it?
Well, what about just good old politeness? I've invited you into my home. It's a party in honour of your...
But good old politeness would dictate you tell me you're serving your fucking arm before I get there.
It's a party in honour of your achievement, of your completed marathon.
Yeah.
Hence the hunger.
Yeah.
So I don't think you should be so, dare I say it, fucking rude.
Well, I didn't know. I'm not eating... human flesh. And I mean, unless it was a life or death situation.
It's not a life or death situation, but it's my lifelong dream. My lifelong dream to share my meat with other people, have them consume me. It's all consensual. No one is being forced. No one is shackled to the floor with a spoon. They're all there of their own free will and enjoying my meat. Why won't you try my meat?
Well, because you've just used the phrase yourself, free will. My free will is I'm not eating that meat. And in fact, I'm going to get you fucking sectioned because this is out of the fucking ordinary.
So hang on a minute. You would rather waste my meat than eat my meat?
I'm not having it. Okay. I'm calling the fucking police if anything. Now, but earlier we sort of discussed my perfect holiday, basically somewhere quiet. But what would be your ideal holiday destination? Have you ever thought about that?
Somewhere I quite like going is a little place in Eastbourne that I go to quite regularly. I like to sit in a hot tub and feed the ducks.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to have a go because I said I like a quiet holiday, but I've given you the world and you've gone about 10 miles down the road from where you live. I mean, I was expecting you to say, I don't know, the tropics of Cancer or something, but no, you've gone Eastbourne. I mean,
however, I have fairly recently renewed my passport, so I should probably try and make some better use of it.
Okay.
So there's plenty of places I've been which I'd like to go back to. I always like going to America. I'd like to do all the sort of Texas and...
Yeah,
I love all that. So I would really quite like to do Route 66 one day, but I haven't really settled on anywhere in particular, so I'm not really sure.
Okay, well,
I've been to America before, so...
Okay, well, I'm going to help you find your dream holiday.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions. There'll be multiple choice. And at the end of this, we'll find out where the internet decides your dream holiday destination is.
Okay.
Okay. So after an early start and lots of waiting around at airports, you finally check into your hotel room. What's the next thing you do? Flop out beside the pool? Do you hit the gym? Do you book a Jeep safari? Do you call room service or head straight into town?
If I've just got there, I'm going to be tired. I mean, even if I wasn't tired and full of beans, you can just forget the gym. I'm not going on holiday to go into the gym. I don't go to the gym here.
Is there not one in Eastbourne?
I don't think, none of the places I go to, no.
I mean, I like the idea of a Jeep safari.
What, on the first morning? You've got to ease yourself in gently, man. I think it's room service.
Okay, oh, that's the first thing you're doing, calling room service.
Was head to the bar an option?
No.
Just sort of settle in. Oh, by the pool. There might be a bar by the pool.
Flop beside the pool. All right, you're going to flop beside the pool. Okay.
Yeah.
Question number two. Which would you rather be on top of?
Interesting.
A camel in the desert.
Right.
The Duomo in Florence. I don't really know what that is, by the way.
I'm not sure what that is.
A roller coaster, a sun lounger, or your tennis backhand.
It's a very clever little linguistic trick there at the end. Can we find out what that mystery one is? Because I don't want to rule it out.
What, the Duomo?
Yeah. Can we find out what that is? Because, like I said, I don't want to turn it down if it turns out to be something that I'd enjoy the most.
Okay, well, it's the famous cathedral. If you see a picture of it, you'd know it's the famous domed cathedral. You know the sort of famous red domes of Florence, and it's the main one, the Cathedral of Santa Maria del Fiore.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that. I think...
why, you know, that big cultural thing to go and see?
No, don't really care about that.
Okay, a camel.
No, you wouldn't catch me dead on a camel. Same reason you wouldn't catch me dead on a horse either. I don't like them or trust them.
I think a camel would be a very uncomfortable ride as well.
Yes, and they tend to spit at you as well. So I don't like that either. So no, I'm not doing the camel. I think it's going to be the roller coaster.
Roller coaster. You do like a roller coaster, don't you? You strike me as a...
Yeah.
Sort of roller coaster guy.
It fits in with my inability to sit still. Like you say, maybe as you get older, you like these sort of sights and things. I remember my dad always used to like trying to show me lovely sights on holiday, and I was always thinking, right, when do we get to the fun bit? What are we doing next?
Yeah. But as you've got older, Ben, do you find that you are now finding those things more interesting?
No. I've mellowed a bit in as much as I don't constantly need roller coasters and things anymore. I'm quite happy, like I say, in Eastbourne in a hot tub with some ducks.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy. I can sit there for hours doing that. But Yeah, I think with the options you've given me, the roller coaster sounds like the most appealing.
But let me just ask you, if you were in Rome, for example, would you be really interested to go to the Colosseum, or would you not be bothered to see something like that?
I would be happy to look at it, think, wow, that looks amazing. What are we doing now?
Right, so you wouldn't want to go in and...
Where's the bar?
You wouldn't want to go in and walk around it and take it all in and learn about it. You wouldn't be interested in that sort of cultural experience.
You could do that at home. That's what YouTube's for.
No, but it's being there, isn't it? If you're there, why not go and do that?
It's interesting, but I suppose I see your point. But no, I still think the roller coaster.
Okay, all right, next one. Your local transport is likely to be a convertible car, a mountain bike, a dune buggy, the public bus, or a people carrier.
Now, the last time I was away abroad, I did use the public bus.
Was this in Gibraltar?
It was.
I've been on the public bus in Gibraltar when I came out for your wedding, and it was fine as far as I remember.
For anyone who might be tantalised to visit Gibraltar, my advice to you would be don't. It's essentially Croydon in the sun. the two nice things there with the view of the sea,
yeah,
and the hotel that I got married in,
yeah,
which is now reduced to rubble,
yeah,
and that lovely view is ruined by a sunken ship that no one can be asked to shift. So save your money, go to a building site. Go to a hot building site. That'll be just as fun. No, I got the public bus, so that would be my answer. Yeah, I didn't rent a car. I could have.
But this is a choice. You can pick. You don't have to pick what you did. Just what would you... I mean, what about a dune buggy?
Well, no, I mean, I could have rented a car in Gibraltar, but I didn't. I chose to get the bus. So what I did was get the bus.
All right, public bus is going in. Right, next one. Which of these souvenirs are you most likely to bring home? A well-worn ferry timetable.
What?
Well, you know, it could be a little souvenir.
Why do I want a timetable of the ferries in a country I'm no longer in?
Well, it's a nice souvenir, isn't it?
That's a strange souvenir.
No, but I keep stuff like that, you know, as a little... I've still got tickets from holidays that I've been on, you know, because they're all part of the experience, aren't they? You can look at that ticket and it brings back the memories, you know?
How often do you sit around your home of an evening reminiscing, getting nostalgic about all the old bus tickets you've collected from foreign countries? It's not gonna happen.
Well, not bus tickets, but like plane tickets, you know. They often go in a file with other things that I've brought home from the holiday, so when I do it, look through that stuff, that's all part of it. Oh, there's my plane ticket. Oh, that's cool, you know. It's a nice little keepsake, isn't it? But anyway,
okay, so we can automatically... I'm not taking home the ferry schedule. Ridiculous.
Okay. A museum catalogue
again. No.
A trimmer figure. An inflatable crocodile. I do like an inflatable thing. I've got quite a few inflatable items that I've collected over the years, so I would be tempted by an inflatable crocodile or a bottle of local spirits.
I think the ethical... Well, I think you've skipped over the last three quite quickly there. One, coming home with a trimmer figure suggests that I'll be hitting that gym again, which we've already ruled out.
Yeah, that's not happening. You've gone straight to the bar.
Or eating healthier and drinking less, which I'm certainly not going to do on holiday. Are you joking? So I'm not coming home with a trimmer figure.
Yeah. Museum catalogue? You've not even been to a museum, so you're not even going to have a catalogue, are you? So
I don't see the point of that. What were the last two again you skipped? Oh, the inflatable. I'm pretty sure... Now, I'm not... I don't have kids of my own, but I'm pretty sure the etiquette with buying inflatables on holiday is that you leave them behind for future families to enjoy, because who really wants to... What am I going to use an inflatable alligator for in East Grinstead?
Yeah, but if you bought it, you know, I think, oh, it's mine. I'm bringing it home. I've been bringing it home. I mean, I've been on holiday and I've actually taken inflatables. I've actually packed them to take them. So you know, I'm going to bring them home if I bought extra inflatables whilst on holiday.
And you're not at all concerned about, you know, what other people might think. Who's that man in his mid-40s turning up with an inflatable with no kids of his own, bobbing around our children in the pool?
That's a red flag, my friend. It wasn't an inflatable for a pool. I took an inflatable drum on holiday once. Because it was just a bit of fun. I did think, obviously, later on, had they wanted to search my luggage, it might have raised some questions.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, what are you picking?
What was the very last item on there?
The bottle of local spirits.
Yeah, I think that's that's a nicer memento. And then you can, I'd probably buy, like you say, one of the local ones, something you can't necessarily get your hands on in this country.
Yes.
And then you can either leave it on the shelf as a little memento,
yeah,
or you can drink it. And one thing one of my friends does is they like to fill their empty foreign bottles with like fairy lights.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Nice. And then have them like nice little light up ornament things that it looks a lot nicer than it might sound. It's strange.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds really tacky, but I'm sure it's no, I'm sure it's lovely. Right, you're going for the bottle of local spirits. Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. Your ideal hotel is in a national park, has a kids club, is bang on the beach, has a dive centre, or is in the historic quarter. Well, I think we're ruling out the historic quarter.
We're also ruling out the kids' park. I have not gone on holiday to listen to screeching children. Thank you very much.
No, okay. A dive centre? Are you in? I mean, I'm assuming we're talking about scuba diving here.
Oh, is that what it meant? I was picturing some sort of leisure centre.
Tom Daly's yeah. there. You've got to do a triple pike before you come home.
Scuba diving sounds good, but thing is, as a kid, from going into so many holidays and swimming pools, my eardrums have burst so many times that my ears are really bad, so I'm not sure I could do good sort of proper diving.
Okay.
And like I say, I do quite like the scenery of the place I go to in Eastbourne and sitting around enjoying the lake nearby. And
yeah.
So I think it would probably be the National Parks one.
The National Park?
Yeah. Probably surprised you with that one, didn't I?
Yeah, a little bit, but I think, yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Okay, next one. On the flight, you'll be reading Peppa Pig out loud.
Like a maniac, yeah. To myself.
Or to a child, I'm assuming it means. Jane Austen, Ranulph Fiennes, the sports section, or Grazia magazine.
None of the above. Ranulph Fiennes, he's the explorer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Lost his fingers in frostbite or something?
Yeah, or was it his toes? He certainly lost...
He lost some digits.
I mean, you'd be cooking them up probably for a hot pot. But, yeah, no, he certainly lost some digits, but he'd probably be an interesting read, wouldn't it?
The sports section is vague. I mean, I'd probably read the sports section if it's to do with, like, boxing or MMA or...
Yeah.
Something like that. If it's football, I'll be less interested. If it's tennis or a rugby, I'll be not interested whatsoever.
Peppa Pig.
No, I know what it's trying to do though. It's trying to guess if I've got kids or not, and the answer to that is again no. I mean, I would have never thought I'd say this, but I guess I would probably, out of those options, which I find all quite dull, probably be the most intrigued to learn a bit more about Ranulph Fiennes.
Okay, right. You would be most annoyed to discover you've forgotten to pack. Here we go.
My slow cooker.
Your swimming goggles, a bottle of Cowpol, your headphones, a guidebook, or your binoculars.
100% my headphones.
I knew you were going to say that.
All day long. No question.
I think the headphones trumps everything else. I'd be a bit, and depending on where I was, binoculars are always good to have, but if I didn't have my headphones, that would piss me off more than not having the binoculars.
Absolutely.
Okay, your Instagram posts mostly feature you in a swimsuit, you in a wetsuit, mountain ranges, ancient buildings, or slightly weird considering your current situation, toddlers at play.
Yes.
I think if you're single or married but no children, don't be putting lots of photos up of toddlers at play. I mean, the police will be round quicker than you can say Rolf Harris.
So. Oh, God. I don't know.
I'm not going to answer for you, obviously, Ben, but I can't stand people who just post pictures of themselves in wetsuits. I'm not keen on people posting pictures of themselves. Frankly, I find, what kind of egotistical maniac have you got to be? Look at me. Look at me. Oh, no, it's me again. No one cares.
I'm probably, if I was going to post it to Instagram for the world to see, it's probably more likely to be the venue I'm at rather than a selfie, I think.
Right. So it's between mountain ranges or ancient buildings, really.
Well, I think we've established I'm not all that fussed by ancient buildings, and I do quite like sort of more nature than history, so I think it will be the mountain ranges.
Okay, right. Here's the verdict.
If this comes back Eastbourne...
You're a hedonist, pure and simple. You have no qualms about spending most of your holiday in horizontal mode, whether on a beach, beside the pool, or on a massage table. Where's he getting this from? I don't remember any of this.
Hang on a minute. I don't remember answering any questions about lotion.
Okay, here are your recommendations. A couple of quite different ideas here. Cornwall is one. Idea. Cornwall's beautiful, though. I mean, I love Cornwall. I'd quite happily go there.
A friend of mine just got back from Cornwall, and he said it was a six-hour drive from here. Yeah. So, sod that.
You don't have to do it all in one go. Or go by train. Go by train. Don't do the drive.
Imagine if I forgot the DVDs on the way to Cornwall. That's my day gone. That's 6 hours there, 6 hours back, and 6 hours back again.
Can I suggest you be a little more meticulous in your planning if you're going to Cornwall? Okay, America is another option. Lots of things. They've suggested you do the Pacific Coast Highway, or take the Northern California Loop to Yosemite and Lake Tahoe. That's going to tick all your boxes.
Yeah, that does sound good. I like that. I think Yosemite Park as well, home to a famous murder, the murder of Cedar Lodge, I believe.
Okay, but you won't go to the fucking Coliseum. You're up for going to some grisly murder scene in the States. Unbelievable.
Yes, I'm a bag of contradictions, I know.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. A couple of things for you this week, Ben.
Go ahead.
First of all, another true crime
program,
as I tend to watch too many of them, really. This is on Netflix, a three-parter called American Murder, Lacey Peterson. It's the story of a woman who is reported missing by her husband on Christmas Eve. It takes a long time for the story to unfold, but as you can imagine, suspicion does point towards the husband. I'm not going to say too much more than that.
Okay, well, statistically, it's usually the husband or the spouse or the boyfriend that did it. That's well established in true crime folklore.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to tell you any more than that, because you don't want to spoil these things. I mean,
no?
It's a true crime story, so there are some twists and turns, but it's quite a straightforward story.
Nice.
And the other thing I'd recommend, and this is a weird thing, this was on ITV over four nights a couple of weeks ago. It's called Platform 7. It's a very odd idea, right? Now, bear with me, because the idea itself sounds slightly ridiculous. So it starts off with a suicide on a train platform number 7, okay?
Okay.
But then the two characters, the man who's just committed suicide, he encounters this other woman who had also died on that platform. So they're essentially ghosts, right?
Okay.
It's mainly about the woman's story, because there's an uncertainty about whether she committed suicide or not, okay? So she's a ghost who sort of goes to find out what happened about her, right? I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's really good. It's basically a sort of a mystery, but just coming at it from a very different angle. The final episode possibly gets a little bit ridiculous, but I still enjoyed it. I just think it was a very different idea.
Okay, you've half sold me on it. I might give it a go.
No, it's good. It's just, I don't know how someone comes up with that idea. It's almost like they've watched the sitcom Ghosts and then thought, how can I use that mechanic and put it into a kind of murder mystery show?
Okay, I might give it a go.
Okay, all right.
I do have one suggestion for Cautionary Corner.
Oh, okay.
But it might be a bit of a controversial thing for me to put in to Cautionary Corner, but I'll think I can defend myself.
Okay.
I'll start with a question for you, Trev. Who do you think tweeted in 2017, $350 to go and see our kid in the USA? What a... When will it all stop? Who do you think tweeted that with a slightly wandering into Scouse accent?
Yeah, I was going to say, you lost me. Is that well, it's Liam on roll. It's Liam. That's Liam Gallagher, right?
How was Liam Gallagher complaining about the price to go and see the High Flying Birds at $350 a ticket?
Yeah.
And I think Oasis have just announced another two Wembley Stadium gigs.
Yeah.
And last time I looked, tickets were £350.
Wow.
They were on sale for 150, and by the time you were, you know, 100,000th in the queue on Ticketmaster and you finally got through to someone, they were at 350 or more.
Wow.
And I would say to spend If you're going as a couple, to spend 700 quid to go and stand in a piss-filled, disgusting field, listening to a load of people listen to some past-it Manx singing clapped-out songs, I would save your fucking money.
Well, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, the whole dynamic pricing thing has been very controversial. The band have sort of distanced themselves from that, saying that was done by somebody else. But, I mean, the prices are unbelievable.
You couldn't pay me 350 quid to go to this thing. It would be awful. I reckon, by the way, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm sort of predicting within about 10 minutes of show number one, they're going to have kicked off and it'll all be off.
Yeah, I can't see them seeing it through long term, I'll be honest. I agree.
So, yeah, I know there'll be massive Oasis fans out there who will hate what I've just said, but honestly, I can't think of a worse way to spend an evening.
Well, there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget you can get in touch with us anytime about anything. We're at Trev and Bill and X, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.